Take your printout, if you will. You'll notice the title is Beginnings. When you talk about Genesis, you talk about the beginning of things. Well, let's begin with the introduction. We've mentioned how the fallen gods, underline the word gods and write angels, if you will. We've mentioned how the fallen angels tricked, underline the word tricked. I've said this before, we're going to say it again until you have it deeply ingrained in your mind and can repeat it very easily in every situation or every scene of life you find yourself in as a child of God, especially dealing with evil. The word tricked. If it's not underlined, underline it now, please. Satan is a trickster. Satan is a trickster. He uses his intelligence, which is greater than ours, and secret knowledge to trick others into disobeying God's word and defying godly behavior. So we've mentioned how the fallen angels tricked humans into building temples in their honor. What about Babel? For generations, well-meaning Bible teachers have presented the story of the Tower of Babel as an object lesson of the dangers of pride. These people were presented as being so arrogant because they thought they could build a tower high enough to reach heaven. You've heard the story. You probably heard it in Sunday school. You've heard it many times from the pulpit. But let's look at what you probably did not hear from the pulpit or in the Sunday school class. Question number one, is that the entire story? The answer to that is no. Number two, was Yahweh offended by this construction project? The answer is yes. Number three, was he threatened by it? The answer is no. How can God, who is all-powerful, all-knowing, everywhere present, and all-sufficient, be threatened by anything he has created? Number four, were these people who had gotten too big for their britches? Not really, not at all. Number five, they'd fallen hook, line, and sinker for lies, and the clue to the sin of Babel is in the name. The word Babel. Let's look at it. Number one, Babel in the Akkadian language. The Akkadian language means gate of the gods. A little different already? You thought Babel meant confusion, and it does. But also there was something else going on when you make reference to Babel. In the Akkadian language means gate of the gods. Number six, was Babel in, now be very careful, was Babel in Babylon? The answer is no. Babylon didn't exist when the structure was built. In fact, it didn't even become a city until about 1,000 years after the Tower of Babel incident. Number seven, who commissioned the construction of the tower? Nimrod. You've heard of him. Genesis chapter 10, that is not 18, but it's supposed to be 10. Genesis 10:10 says the beginning of his kingdom was Babel in the land of Shinar. So Nimrod's homeland is still called Uruk. Today we call it Iraq. Number eight, where do we look for the Tower of Babel? We'll answer that as we go. Number nine, what God, and underline the word God. Notice that is a little G-O-D. I want you to underline the word God and write the word demon. We're actually dealing with demons. What God, what demon, and remember every demon has evil energy and evil influence with it at all times. So what demon did Nimrod want to make the goddess of his city, Uruk, parenthesis, Iraq, today? The answer is Inanna. Inanna. I-N-A-N-N-A. Now you'll notice below nine, Inanna is a demon. A demon, if you do not know already, is a fallen angel. Number one, under Inanna, a demon. Wasn't always a girl. In fact, she wasn't always a girl goddess you would want to bring home to meet your mother. Her cult followers included eunuchs. I think you know what a eunuch is. If you don't, after the service, I'll be glad to explain it to you. And transvestites. Transvestites, a man who dresses in women clothing. Now pay close attention. So we're talking about Inanna. Inanna is a goddess. Inanna is a demon. Inanna has evil influence and energy at all times. Her cult followers, who have been energized and influenced by her in many different evil ways, included eunuchs and transvestites, and she was apparently the first in history to make a practice of sex reassignment. You see, there are some people that don't know if they're a man or a woman. Well, it doesn't take long to find out. Just drop your britches and it'll take you about 5 seconds. And I think you can decide who you are. Okay, here we go. She changes the right side male into the left side female. So what is behind and who is behind this sex reassignment? It is a goddess. It is a demon. And her energy and influence is flowing very well into the lives of human. So she is at the beginning or the origin of sex reassignment. And she is there instilling in a man or a woman what she would like for them to be. So when some man says, "I want to be a woman," there is an influence there, and there is an energy there that is evil, that is promoting that in the mind of that individual. For that individual alone, by himself or herself, did not make that decision. How many have you heard say, "Well, I made the decision to be a woman," or "I made the decision to be a male"? Well, you did make a decision, but it started with a demon. A demon's influence and a demon energy. She changes the right side male into the left side female. She turns a man into a woman. She's doing this. So behind every decision you make is a force. Is it coming from God or is it coming from Satan? It is not something that you conjured up on your own. All right? She changes the right side male into the left side female. She turns a man into a woman. She turns a woman into a man. Today, Inanna's personality is celebrated by modern scholars as complex and courageous, transcending traditional gender roles, turning this ancient goddess into an icon of independent man slash woman slash or otherhood. Look at the question. Number one, could it be that the violent, sex-crazed, gender-bending Inanna was responsible for Yahweh's decision to stop Nimrod's, now pay close attention to what you're about to read, artificial holy mountain? Who had the original holy mountain? It was God the Father. We can say God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. So what is Satan, through this demon, promoting? A counterfeit holy mountain. Isn't that what Satan does? He tries to duplicate what God does. So Satan is nothing but a counterfeit right here. So could it be that the violent, sex-crazed, gender-bending Inanna was responsible for Yahweh's decision to stop Nimrod's artificial holy mountain? So what you're talking about when you talk about Babel has more to talk about than confusion. We're talking about a goddess, a demon of great perversion, of sex reassignment, and other things evil, sexual, that come from it. Turn to page 2. At the top of page 2, is Inanna the spirit of this modern age? The answer is yes, yes, and yes. She's a demon. It's a spirit. This spirit is alive and well and gaining more knowledge how to work the mind of human beings in the area of homosexuality, in the area of sexual reassignment. Remember, you're not coming up with this on your own. It is being instilled in you by a demon, its influence and energy. Now, gender fluidity is the flow among progressives. I want you to listen closely here, because progressives pat themselves on the back and say, look at us. Look at how we are progressing. We are way more intelligent than those on the right. Well, I want you to listen very closely. Ironically, this means that so-called progressive ideals about gender and sexual morality are actually regressive, all right? They're going backwards in their lifestyle. They're going backwards in their thinking. And this is what happens when you leave God and the Word of God out of your life. When you think you're going forward without God, you're actually going backwards. So therefore, you need God in your life. He's sovereign. It is God who gives you the answers that you need to develop and go forward in all of humanity. All right? So ironically, this means that so-called progressives, AOC and the rest of them that are following her and like her, ideals about gender and sexual morality are actually regressive. The enlightened think they're cutting edge, breaking new ground, when actually they're just setting the calendar back to more than 1,000 years before Abraham. Number 11. What was the Tower Project about? Listen closely. Not pride. Not pride. It was to build the abode of the demons, small G-O-D-S, an artificial mount of assembly right on top of the where? The abyss. Number 12. I know this is getting a little deep, but hang with me. You need to know where everything got started and how it got started, and we're learning this in Genesis. Number 12. What would cause people who'd committed to building the largest tower in Mesopotamia at the most ancient and important religious site in the known world to just stop work and leave an unfinished business? Could it be Genesis chapter 11, verses 8 and 9? We'll read that. So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the surface of the entire earth. And they stopped building the city. Therefore, the name of the city was Babel. So what would you say about the name of the city now? You can say it was a what? City of confusion, but it was also a city of the gate of the gods right there. All right? Now, let's go back to the readout. Because there the Lord confused the language of the entire earth. Now, I have a question for you. In the millennial is the 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ. The next big event in the church age that you and I are in at this moment that began on Pentecost and will end at the rapture. After the rapture, we have the 7-year tribulation period. After the 7-year tribulation period, then we have the 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ. So the question is, what is it going to be like in the 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ? In the millennial kingdom, will everyone speak the same language? Now remember, everybody's scattered here. Different language. Will everybody speak the same language and worship in God's holy mountain. Where was the Garden of Eden? In God's holy mountain. Turn in your Bibles to Zephaniah. Zephaniah, we'll read about this. Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 9. Verses 9 through 11. Zephaniah chapter 3, verses 9 through 11. Here we go, verse 9. Then I will give to the peoples clear and pure speech from purified lips, which reflect their purified hearts, that all of them may call on the name of the Lord, to serve Him shoulder to shoulder, united. From beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, my worshipers, the descendants of my dispersed ones, will bring my offerings. Verse 11. On that day, you, Israel, will feel no shame because of all your acts by which you have rebelled and sinned against me. Then I will remove from among you your rejoicing ones who delight in their pride. So he's going to purify everything. And you will never again behave arrogantly. Notice the last line. On my holy mountain, Mount Zion. Wow, mountain. Again, everybody's thinking. The Garden of Eden was on level ground. The Garden of Eden was in the mountain of God. And you just read it once again from the Word of the Living God. All right, so Baptists need to make a correction from what they've been taught most all of their lives right there. All right, now, who intervened? The Lord of the armies. Yahweh mixed the speech of the Sumerians that until then had been one. Next. Not only did Yahweh scatter the people, he told mankind that we'd have to deal with the lesser Elohim. Underline Elohim. Now, who are the Elohim? I'll tell you exactly in detail next Sunday morning. The small gods, so we've already dealt with the word gods. Notice again, small G-O-D-S. Now, you think the small god would be a demon here? Well, we're going to find out from then on. Moses reminded the Israelites of what went down in the aftermath of Yahweh's divine intervention at Babel. Deuteronomy 32:8. When the Most High, and the word Most High in the Hebrew is saying absolutely sovereign. When the Most High God, who is absolutely sovereign, He's in control of everything all the time. Nothing ever catches Him by surprise. When the Most High, absolutely sovereign, gave the nations their inheritance, when He separated the sons of man, He set the boundaries of the peoples according to the number of the sons of Israel. What is the number of the sons of Israel? I'll tell you next Sunday. All right? Now, look at the words or the phrase, sons of God here. Angels of God, Deuteronomy 4:19, and beware that you do not raise your eyes toward heaven and see the sun and the moon and the stars. I want you to underline the word stars. Did Israel get caught worshiping stars? How would you answer that one? Did they ever worship the stars, moon, the sun, and other things in the astral? Did they ever do that? I'll let you find that out then. Be good study for you. Here we go. Stars. You ever looked up stars? Have you ever been to Colorado, someplace high, maybe Montana, Wyoming? And you got to lay on your back and you got to look up at the stars. What'd you think? Did it make you want to worship the stars or worship the one who created the stars? All right, let's look at stars. Stars, number one, they're created by God. Number two, the number of stars known only by God. How many stars would you say probably exist? And whatever you say, you're not even going to come close. But of all the stars that you have seen with your own eyes in the sky above you, isn't it amazing that He knows the exact number of the stars that are in the universe? Number three, stars have individual names. My gosh. Millions and millions, billions of stars. And our God has named them. Johnny, you can't even remember your wife's birthday all the time. And so we see here, billions and billions, and that's probably not even getting close, Mr. Hacker. All the stars that exist in numbers, I probably can't even think of or even say if I could look at them. And God has given every one of them a name. Do you not think you ought to trust the God of the Creator, the one who has created all the stars and named them? And if God has created all of these stars and He has a name for all of them, you know what hit me? He'll never forget mine. I'll always be in existence in His unlimited thinking, His unlimited mind. He's the one I want to worship, because every time I come to Him, He'll call me by name. He'll never forget me. That's the God you serve. That's the God that has given you salvation through Jesus Christ, His death, burial, and resurrection. If you don't have Him, get Him. Pray, Holy Spirit, convict me of my unbelief, that it may be turned into belief in Jesus Christ. And when Satan says, "You fool, you think Jesus Christ will become your Savior after what you've done and what you've been through?" Jesus says, "You bet I will."
Amen.
And I'll open my arms and I'll call Him by name and say, "Come to the Father and come to the Son, who loves you more than you know, who has a name for every star that exists, and I have a name for you, my Son." Number four, stars move according to laws strictly fixed and determined by their Creator. There is no confusion in creation. So all of you that are so really smart, I know you got this one figured out. Why don't you let the God, the Creator of the stars in your life, and He can take away confusion. He can take away disorder. He says, "You can take my yoke." And His yoke that you take from Jesus Christ will enable Christ and you to handle and manage every situation you'll ever have in life. It's nice to have a manager that is all-powerful, all-knowing, everywhere present, and all-sufficient. Amen. And that is Jesus Christ. He created the stars. He manages the stars. So what in the world is your life like that He can't manage?
Amen.
How do you get disappointed and frustrated and say, "Man, I can't handle this, Johnny. It's above my head." Let me tell you something. If you have this God of the Bible, if He can manage all He has created and name all He has created, I think He can manage everything in your life.
Yes.
Every star, number five, differs in splendor. My gosh, God, You created billions and billions of stars, and that was so awesome. And You're telling us that each one shines different than the other? Each one has its own brilliance. And He has spoken about that of the child of God in the resurrection body. Some of us are going to shine like 100 watt bulbs, and some of us are going to glow like 25 watt bulbs. But I made it to heaven. Did you know every child of God will have a different brilliance in that resurrected, glorified body? Number six, the actual form of the constellations gives testimony to God's power. Their brilliance and movement find their origin in Him. And lastly, only God has knowledge of the rules of His creation. He has rules in creation. He has set down rules in humanity. And when you break those rules, He gets upset, doesn't He? Let's go back to the printout. And beware that you do not raise your eyes toward heaven and see the sun and the moon and the stars, all the host of heaven, and let yourselves be enticed or led astray and worship them, and serve them, mere created bodies. Why do you want to serve what's been created? I'd rather have the Creator. Deuteronomy 29, 24 through 26 says, all the nations will say, why has the Lord done this thing to the land? Why this great outburst of anger? Then people will say, it is because they abandoned. They broke the covenant of the Lord, the God of their fathers, which He had made with them when He brought them out of the land of Egypt. For they went and served other gods and worship them, false gods, whom they have not known. Deuteronomy 32, 17. I want you to listen to this. Deuteronomy 32, 17. They sacrifice to demons. When you worship anything other than God, it is demonic. And God won't have it. He's going to judge it. They sacrifice to demons, not God. To gods they had not known. New gods. Now listen to this. That had just arrived. Are you tired of battling those demons that are around you now? Well, get ready, for there's a new set coming. That you haven't even thought about. Maybe more powerful, more energy, more evil, more influential. That's the demons. And you say, I'm so tired of fighting them. Aren't they tired yet? They never get tired. Listen to this. There's always reinforcements to damn you and hammer you and beat you down and make you feel like, if you don't know better according to the Word of God, that you're nothing in the eyes of Almighty God. You might as well quit. You're no good. But the Word of God says, if you're a child of the living God, you are special. You are particular. You're very much loved by someone who knows how to love. A love that is unconditional. A love that is sacrificing. That's Jesus Christ. But remember, they sacrifice to demons, not God. To gods they had not known, new gods that had just arrived when your fathers did not fear. Well, here's one word. If the demons bring reinforcements, then you and I need to be reinforcing our brother and sister. Amen. In prayer. Yes. When they're going through something that's tough, and you say, I need more prayer. Well, I thought of it this way. We can say, like the demons, reinforcements are coming. Boy, we got this guy down. We got this woman down. But what's wrong with the Christian saying, I'm not going down because reinforcements are coming. Reinforcements are on the way, and I've got more prayer power coming The blood of Jesus, I will speak it. Satan cannot stand it. He cannot stand the word of the living God. It puts him down and makes him run. Reinforcements. I believe we all need to be reinforced from time to time. Right, Sandra? Pat? Would you say to Conley Williams, he's struggling. He's trying. He's doing the best he can do. But don't you think it'd make him feel good to say, reinforcements are coming. The power of prayer, brother, is on its way. We're tired of this demonic stuff. It's time to confront it. It's time to attack it in a spiritual way. We are involved in spiritual warfare, and Washington is right in the middle of it. Washington, the Christians in the House and the Senate, they need reinforcement. Amen. Pray for the Christians in Washington. Amen. We've had enough of this damning hellish mentality. Yep. The last statement. After Babel, the nations of the world were divided geographically and spiritually according to the number of the sons of God. Next Sunday morning, we'll get that number. It will amaze you how God works. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Word of God that gives us direction, it straightens us out when we're all twisted and confused. Thank you for reminding us that demons are very active. They have a supernatural energy and a supernatural influence. And the battle that goes on in your Christian life is fought in your mind. I believe in Romans it says, let there be a renewing of your mind. Let the Word of God change your thinking, and you'll become a winner in the battles that you're in. And will come. We have to answer for every scene of life before Him one day. And I pray that you're going to hear, my child, in this particular scene of life, you called upon me. You opened my word and you began to pray. And then you confronted evil by quoting the word of the living God, just like I asked you to. And I gave you victory. Because you quit living by human rationalization. You started living by the word of the living God. And what power it is to move whatever is in the way. Father, I love you and I thank you for loving us. And I thank you for giving us such a treasure as your word. Such a treasure as salvation bought by the blood of Jesus. And Father, let us be the reinforcements that we need to be, because demons know how to reinforce a situation, so why not us? Reinforcements. We call it prayer warriors. Whatever you want to call it, just get with it. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.